and welcome to the Daily Dits podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Mitchell. It's Thursday, the 23rd of July. And for today's episode on the pod, you better get your sun cream out because we're heading to sunny Cyprus. And for the very first time, we've got Mr. Hal Stewart on the pod, which I'm very excited about. Hello, Hal. How are you doing?
You picked the palest man, the man who is genuinely terrified of the sun, to mention how sunny it is here. And sun cream, very much order of the day. Factor 1000 always applied.
Well, my love, you took the pale joke out of my vocabulary, so I'm glad you did it rather than me.
Well, it's true.
Oh, well, what have you been up to in sunny Cyprus recently then?
This is really, I think, quite incredible. When I tell the tale, your feet will hurt. If, like me, you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, you'll know that a great part of Lord of the Rings is walking. Well, I had the pleasure of speaking beforehand with two of these gentlemen that were going to do a charity walk for the Cyprus Army Cadet Force. I'm one of the charity, which we'll get to a bit later, Under Officer John Bull and WO2 Lee Howdle. Now, when they'd finished, I only spoke with Lee because John was, unfortunately, his feet were in such a bad way, we actually let him off popping into the studio and speaking to me.
So what is the challenge that they were doing, Hal?
They set out to walk from one side of BFC all the way to the other. We call it the WESBA, the Western Sovereign Base Area, to the ESBA, the Eastern Sovereign Base Area, which, if you know Cyprus, if you've been here, or even if you've seen on a map, Episcopi to Decalia. And the reason for actually doing that was it was where the army cadets are. So they've got sort of two army cadet detachments, one in Episcopi, one in Decalia. There are others as well, and they would stop off at those on the way. Now, I'm not aware of anyone doing this before, but what an incredible achievement. And as I say, your feet hurt just hearing about it.
For sure. I think for context, to drive from Episcopi to Decalia, it's a good couple of hours, isn't it?
Yeah, we did that many, many times, and you would set aside a large portion of your day to get there and back, and then to actually do whatever it was that you were doing, recording a story or speaking to some people there that you would meet and maybe plan an event. So absolutely right. And the fact is, to try and walk it, especially in the summer, an incredible undertaking.
Absolutely it is. And I'm going to gather that they probably faced some challenges on the way.
Yes, they absolutely did. There was quite a lot they had to get through. I mean, I did also ask WO2 Lee Howdle about the distance and detours.
We set out to do 85 miles. It's about 125 kilometres.
Wow.
And we ended up doing 87 miles in the end, a few detours, which equates to about 140 kilometres. There was a few random obstacles. There's a huge power station in between Limassol and Larnaca, which was quite a detour round. It's not just a power station, it's also a gas station as well. Probably about 5 miles to walk around that thing.
Wow.
It's huge.
A 5 mile detour. I mean, it's going to be quite difficult enough walking, you know, the 80 odd miles that they set out to do, but then getting to that sort of power station and then having to walk 5 miles around it. I reckon you'd be fairly exhausted at that point, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I felt for Lee because I actually looked up the Decalia power station afterwards. In fact, even if you just type into like a search engine, give me 3 facts about Decalia, the power station is so synonymous and so famous that it actually comes up usually as one of the things it's known for. It's so enormous. And I suppose with any big walk like this, there's going to be things that are going to be unexpected and come out at you. I'm not sure we can count an enormous power station as one of those. But maybe it's not designed. In fact, let me rephrase, maybe it's definitely not designed from Episcopi to Decalia to be walked. As you were saying before, Lauren, it's actually quite far even in the car, where it actually is quite doable in terms of the fantastic infrastructure on the roads that they have here. And the roads, if you've never been to Cyprus, the roads are really, really well maintained, but not for walking. And it is very, very, very difficult because there isn't cycle lanes, for example. There isn't walking lanes because it just isn't done. So when that kind of detour came up, and when you've got to go through bushes, which will have sharp objects, thistles, all sorts in there scraping your legs because it's short weather, just altogether makes it very, very difficult.
It really does. I'm picturing them like marching on the motorway, which is probably not what they did.
Yeah.
But when you picture, because I've driven from Episcopi Akrotiri to Decalia. Like, you picture, well, the fact that you're just on this long motorway over all the way over there.
Yeah.
So I'm picturing them sort of marching down the motorway. Probably not what they did. They probably didn't have to risk assess that. But did they do much to prepare for this phenomenal challenge?
It's a good question, because I spoke to Lee afterwards and I said, what about footwear? What did you do there? And Lee, he won't mind me saying this, but he prepared very, very well, extensively, with the footwear choices. He went and spent quite a bit of money because he wanted to get the exact right shoes that fit, that had some give, that actually pressed down in the right places and were the exact size for his feet. One of the reasons I didn't speak to John afterwards, and I mentioned John was in quite a bit of pain, was that John didn't do that. John just bought some new trainers, threw them on, ready for the walk, and I'm sure everyone knows. It's like if you're going out on like a mess function and you're putting on your new shoes for that. You know your feet are going to be in a right state at the end of the night. Well, imagine trying to walk across a country in new shoes. So poor Under Officer John Bull, who does so much great work for the Cyprus Army Cadet Force, his feet were in a right state. And WO2 Lee Howdle, his feet weren't great, but they were far, far better by the end of the walk. In fact, it was so bad for John, and I've already checked that he doesn't mind me sharing this, he wasn't actually able to complete the walk in walking terms, which is another reason why I spoke to Lee just at the end. But he did act as a support, and he came with a support vehicle to finish the walk with Lee, who did complete the whole thing.
Oh, bless him. I mean, it goes against everything that Paolo Nutini says. You know, put some new shoes on and suddenly everything's right. No, no. You need to walk in shoes that you've, like, broken in and that you have shown them who is the boss.
Maybe that'll be the remix for Paolo Nutini.
Yes, exactly, exactly that. But did they, apart from sort of the footwear challenges and things like that, did they share any sort of other tough and difficult parts of the journey with you?
Yep, I asked WO2 Lee Howdle, what was the hardest part?
Just keeping moving, just to keep on going. Our original idea was that we were going to walk up to the point where it was starting to get a bit uncomfortably warm and then stop, find some shade somewhere, rest out for a bit and then carry on walking. But we realised that walking around in the dark isn't always the greatest. Walking along a coastline in the dark, less desirable. Walking along roads is not really an option at night. The only choice we had to make the time is just to continue walking throughout the day. And that was probably the hardest part. Once the temperatures are getting up to about 32, you kind of just keep in a mindset of just to keep moving.
Hal, it seems like there was a lot of planning that had to go into this challenge. I mean, the distance itself, but also the idea of walking in the heat, 32 degrees, lots of walking. They couldn't be walking in the dark. They had to make sure that they were on decent terrain. It was probably quite a difficult thing to plan.
When we spoke about it before they did it, we did talk about the fact this is possibly the worst time of year to do it, but they had to do it at this time of year purely just because of their actual day-to-day jobs, the time they could get off, the time when they weren't dedicated purely to the cadets, the time when they actually had some free, available time. It wasn't ideal because of the heat. But yes, they did extensive planning. They knew the route. Okay, we had the chat about one or two detours in there, but that's always going to happen, you know, the best laid plans. And they had a plan B for that, even though it meant they had to do a little bit more walking. When I spoke to both of them before, they knew exactly what they had to do, where they had to go, who they would see on the route, the fact that they would be walking through places across BFC where they had friends, where people would come out, be able to cheer them. They also had a QR code on the back of their rucksack so people could actually donate and support why, you know, they were actually doing this challenge in the first place.
Oh, wow. And why were they doing this challenge in the first place, Hal?
I asked WO2 Lee Howdle that exact question because it seemed like a sensible one to pose if you're going to do something quite as extreme as this, and here's what he said.
The whole idea was to try and offset or, if possible, make their annual camp free rather than having the parents having to pay out for flights and the annual camp fees and stuff. So we thought we'd do something. Unfortunately, the challenge was too extreme to be able to take the cadets with us. So we just decided that we'll just walk it and we'll see how it goes. It's my first challenge. I like walking. As it turns out, I don't like walking as much as I thought I did. We just thought, well, if we're going to do something, it might as well be a challenge rather than just a 20-mile walk or something like that, because most people can achieve something like that. So that was what we'd done it for. Then thought, well, if we're going to raise some money, we might as well do it for some kids on the island as well. So we decided to go with the One Dream, One Wish Foundation, who raises money for supporting children with cancer and their families. We surpassed our target. There's a couple of the stations who are going to be giving a bit more, but that's where we're at the moment.
I like what you said. Don't like walking as much as I thought I did, because it's just walking. It's just walking at the end of the day, but it's quite far.
It's ridiculous, ridiculously far. And again, I think we just should really emphasise, there's been a heat wave in Cyprus. I mean, this is a hot place, as you know, Lauren, generally in the summer. It's extreme at the moment. The UV has been extreme. Poor Lee, I mean, his sunburn on his lips. Now, he took real precaution. He was wearing a sun cream. He was wearing his hat. But you know, as well as I do, the sweat, it can, you almost have to reapply sort of every 15 to 20 minutes. And that's just practically not possible. So when he came in to chat to me, his lips were in a right state. I've never actually seen anything like it. And I felt very, very sorry for him. But it was the heat that was, I think, for him and for John, as well as terrible shoes for John, really, really quite a challenge.
But do you think they thought it was all worth it?
I think for such a fantastic cause, yes. You know, it's wonderful to raise money for the Cyprus Army cadets. It's a wonderful thing to raise money for the One Dream, One Wish, the local charity, which I see a lot of their work here in Cyprus. I think that they wouldn't ever do... Well, I know that they wouldn't ever do this again, because... You know, I said to Lee, would you do this again? And he wouldn't entertain that. He's not going to do this specific challenge ever again. But you know what? It's something they can always say. They can tell their grandchildren what they did. And I don't know anyone else who's ever done it.
Oh, me neither. Me neither, for sure. Like, that is incredible. And it's so nice as well that they've done all of this for charities. They've gone through the blood, the sweat and the tears to raise that money for two fantastic charities. It's really nice to see.
It is, and they're actually planning to raise money in the future. They do want to do the Cyprus Walk Down, which is from Troodos, which is the mountain area, so the hilly area here in Cyprus, all the way down to the Wesba. It's an incredible, again, undertaking. They'd actually like to do that one with the cadets themselves. They felt this walk, it wasn't possible for the cadets to join them, and I think that was the right call. But that one, there would be. That one is marshalled. That one is something that many, many people serving and spouses, partners, friends of get involved in every year.
Well, that does sound like a nice plan, especially to get the cadets involved. But can we just take a moment to talk about the fact that in Cyprus, you can spend your morning in the mountains and spend your afternoon at the beach sunbathing. It's crazy, isn't it?
It really is. And it's something that you and I have enjoyed and done ourselves. I remember a particular Christmas going and seeing the snow in the mountains. And then I was back down on the beach for a barbecue in the afternoon. And we're talking less than a 40-minute drive. Amazing.
Insane. Insane. And Hal, if people are listening and think, do you know what? I want to stick some money in that bucket. How can they help? How can they support this challenge that they've done?
A number of people across BFC have supported. A number of units and regiments really got behind them. People donated during the walk. They were with their buckets. They had those QR codes that people could scan. But they've also got a Just Giving website. You can search Cyprus Army Cadets on Just Giving. And if you wish, you can support.
Awesome. Well, Hal, thank you so much for coming on the pod today. It has been so nice to have you on. And it's actually just been nice to catch up.
Yeah, it's been far too long. The fact that we used to do a radio show together, and then it's genuinely been 2 years since we're back broadcasting together. Well, what does that say about us, Lauren?
It shows that we're terrible and that we are not dedicating enough time to each other.
I already knew that about myself. But no, it's lovely to be able to speak with you again. And thank you for having me on the pod.
Well, what else is going on across BFBS? Well, for the chance to win some online shopping vouchers, tell us what you think of everything that we do here at BFBS. What you love, what you change. You know we can't get any better unless you tell us what we can change and what we can do to help you. Your feedback helps shape what comes next, and you can get started at bfbs.com/survey. That's bfbs.com/survey. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Daily Dits. I've been your host, Lauren Mitchell, and I'll see you tomorrow.